This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, W.D. Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. We praise Allah, the Lord and keeper of all the worlds, who cares about his creation, and particularly his human creation. And the best of his human creation are his servants, the messengers, the prophets. And the leader among those messengers and prophets is the last prophet, the seal of the prophets, Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed more than 14 centuries ago. We salute him with a traditional salute, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, wa ba'd, and what follows of that salutation. We witness that God is one, we worship none but him, and we witness that Muhammad is a mercy to all the world, the servant and messenger and servant of God. We are very happy to be here in Louisville, Kentucky, at this beautiful, grand, exquisite structure, the Galt House. I didn't know Louisville was as big as it is. I had the wrong impression all these years. I knew they had a big fellow from here, Muhammad Ali, the greatest fighter that ever stepped into the ring. This has really been a great visit for us thus far. And I think it's going to just keep moving with more and more energy until it concludes this evening, sometimes this evening. So let's be grateful to our God, firstly, and let's be grateful to all of those that have helped us along the way to become better human beings, more conscious of ourselves as a social group, lost from Africa, not knowing how to get back there, and trying to find our way to establish our life individually and our life collectively here in the new world, the United States of America. Let us be grateful to everyone from slavery to the day that have done something to help us on this path, the path to our honor. And the greatest honor we can ever have is the right relationship with our Creator, our Maker, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorified and highly praised is He. Before I begin the address to you today, let me say that last night was a wonderful, beautiful, high-spirited night. The program was wonderful, and it was actually conceived by the idea itself began with Imam Clyde Rahman of Cleveland, who is a great he's a great promoter of fundraising for us in our community. And he's often coming to me to get my permission for him to do something in my name. And I'm conscious of the fact that sometimes I wonder how I'm going to pay my phone bill. And I know where to go to get the money now. I'm not hopeless. Because if I just tell you all I need money, you're going to give it. I know some of you out there are going to get it to me. I know that. So I'm not saying I'm hopeless. I'm not hopeless. But I don't like to ask for money. And that happens to me very rarely now. Very rarely am I without money to pay all of my bills. Because of you supporting me so faithfully, supporting the ministry. And before the ministry, the Mecca Fund, most of you that started out with me when I first established my own ministry separate from the Nation of Islam. You started out with me then, you have remained with me ever since, and those who are on the list of donors now supporting my ministry, most of them are the same ones that supported me from day one. That's faithful, that's loyalty. Yes, so when I'm asked, what do I think of an effort to raise funds for me and my ministry, right away I hesitate. I don't feel that I should agree to it, because you're already doing that. You're doing that on your own, and you're doing a beautiful job of supporting Imam W. Dean Muhammad. but we know we can use more money for many things. We would like to have a budget that would take care of our staff, our employees, for a year in advance, you know. We would like to have that. We don't have it. So I listened to Imam Clyde Rahman, and he doesn't know really how to get my agreement. He doesn't know how. I hope he's in here right now. He doesn't know how to get me to agree to something like that. So he said, Imam, brother Imam, Imam, we want to do something big for you. We want to give you $1 million, maybe $2 million. I'm listening. Can we do it? Can we do something for you? I'm listening. So I'm thinking too at the same time while I'm listening to him. I'm thinking of the time. He said, 25 years of your leadership. I said, you're right. And we want to do something for you. I said, okay. I agreed because of the time, 25 years. And I agreed because I think we need something like this to give us the opportunity to kind of reflect and recall our steps from 1975 under the leadership of the most unique black man that I know of in the history of black people, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we need this day to recall where he put us and where we have come since that time, This has given us the opportunity. And Allah is with us, God. Those who don't know who Allah is, God. Allah says in the God that is God, says to us in our holy book, say to them, meaning the Christians, and the Jews, and also another group that was called Sabians, and they still exist. Some Sabians still exist. And says, say to them, our God and your God is one and the same God. So we know who Allah is. And now, I think the intelligent, educated people of the world know who Allah is. They know that Allah is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God for everybody. Yes. I know that it has been that God, that is God, that has been with us all the time. All the time. When they brought us from Africa to be worked here as slaves, sold to slave masters, God was with us then. And the day that they declared us free, and some of us were so hungry for an opportunity to develop our minds, to educate ourselves, writers on that day of freedom say, slaves could be seen in the field when they heard the news, resting on their plow hands, the hands of the plow, with some paper or literature or book in their hands, trying to read. Now look what they were doing when they learned that they were free, trying to read. Why? Because they had been held back from the freedom to learn, to educate themselves, to read. That's what they were held back from. Now, these writers didn't say that when they heard the declaration that they were free, they rushed to get a bottle of wine. They were seen rushing to get some liquor. Some were seen rushing to eat, to go somewhere and eat. Some were seen dancing all in the field. I don't know of any writer that has said they were dancing in the field. Think about that. But the writer said they were seen resting on their plowshare, trying to read some piece of literature. That should tell us a lot. What does it tell us? It tells us that the most precious part of our life is our human intellect. Our human intellect. The mind that wants to learn. The mind that wants to be an instrument for the betterment of the individual's life and for the betterment of the individual's environment. The world all around him or her. That's the most precious part of our life. I think that you say, oh no, our heart is the most precious part. Believe me, if your mind dies, your heart can keep living and you are virtually dead. We know the importance of the heart. The heart is the mate of the intellect. They are mates, like male and female. They work together for the good of the life. And the heart must be right for the intellect to get benefit and do the good work that God created it to do. The heart must be right. But we know the heart can be wrong and the intellect can be very productive. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't have all this great production we have in Chicago, and we know a lot of it is owing to the works of criminals, liars, thieves, oppressors. Chicago, I'm sorry. I'm speaking of Chicago, not Louisville, Kentucky. I wouldn't dare say that about Louisville, Kentucky. Yes. So a lot of the great work we have in cities, big cities like Chicago, we know that work is the work of a lot of people who are corrupt. So the mind can still produce, though the heart is corrupt. But the mind can't produce as God intended for the mind to produce unless the heart is right. The heart has to be right. But when the heart is right, the heart only wants to assist the mind. It doesn't want to lead the mind. The heart only wants to assist the mind. So the heart is like a loving, sweet, genuine wife of the intellect, of the mind. And it can be ignorant too, like the mind can be ignorant. Nat King Cole told us that in his song, My Foolish Heart. And it touched me. I was a young man, 14 years old, with hair starting to grow on my chest, and already on my lips. sideburns growing down to my chin almost. I was a hairy young fellow. I'm in trouble. All that energy that's growing that hair got me in trouble. And when he said my foolish heart, I went and bought his record. I went and bought that record. Right away, I bought that record, My Foolish Heart. Because it was sure in pain. That pretty black girl had me in some kind of pain. I was smelling her long after she was 5 miles away from me in her house, and I'm in my house. I'm still smelling her. Like she's right there beside me. I don't know what she used, but that soap had a wonderful smell. And my nose knew when it smelled that, she was there. Yes? So our hearts can be foolish. Our minds should be the boss, not our hearts. The heart just enables the mind to keep going straight, like a woman, a good woman, a good wife. She will let her husband take the lead, especially in matters of the world. She will let her husband take the lead. When I say matters of the world, I mean even matters that he is more familiar with than she is. Even the decoration of the house. Say, honey, I want this house decorated. She'll tell him to do it. Very few women will say, honey, I'm going to decorate this house. Go get me some paint and get this and then it. No, she said, honey, I want this house decorated. And she may be really a better selector of the right colors and everything, right paint and everything than he. But she respects him so much in his position of the man of the house that she will pretend she doesn't even know too well what to do about this job of decorating the house. And sometimes he's ignorant enough to think really she doesn't know. But she gets the house decorated. Yeah. And that's the way the heart is too. The heart sometimes know the mind is foolish, and the heart will very, very easily suggest to the brain that maybe you're wrong.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. W. Dean Mohammed will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W. Dean Mohammed and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now, back to today's program.
It won't strongly suggest that. It will very subtly, easily ease up on the brain. You might be wrong. So we call that the whispers from our souls. You know, we say, oh, that's a whisper from my soul. But who knows what is the center of the soul? Who knows where the soul is located in our bodies? We don't know. Could be in the stomach, like some Far Easterners think, that the soul is in the stomach. It could be where the heart is. Could be the heart. It even could be up here. We don't know where the soul is. We don't know where the center is. But I think most likely it's where the heart is. The center is where the heart is. That's my opinion. And yes, so much for that. We need this day of celebration to think the life and the struggles that we have made to get where we are today. I mentioned yesterday evening at the banquet, precious, how precious work to advance our life, to free us eventually. Precious. When I was sitting there enjoying the meal, that chicken was so tender, I ate it all. And a little more than I usually eat. two big pieces of tender breast, chicken breast. I ate it all. I was trying to be what you call it, sophisticated. I'm going to leave a piece so when they pick up the plate, they say, oh, he wasn't greedy. He wasn't starved. You know? Well, I say, hey, I can't handle this. The sophistication has to go out the window. I ate the last little piece. And the music was so beautiful and great. And my half-brother, that man got a voice and he can sing. Rasul, he can sing. I mean, he has a beautiful voice. Professional skills as a singer, a vocalist. I'm not saying this to tell him to go into that business now. We don't want you to do that. Because you're more valuable to us where you are now. As a preacher for God's cause. And we hope he will stay there, not go into entertainment. In fact, any one of you in positions, such positions here, if you have professional skills of that type, you can make more money with us than you can out there in the world of entertainment. Yes, we'll make you a star. And you'll sing for us, and we'll make some money too. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So I was thinking about precious. And I said to myself, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was certainly the creation of precious. And most of our great minds and producers are the creation of great precious. Great precious. We all are people who have lived under pressure for all of our lives, for generation after generation. Anytime you think of your position in the world of societies, the African American people, if you're conscious, you're going to be under pressure. There is a pressure on your mind and your heart that we have been held back and we need to do more to catch up with the world. No matter how much advancement we see in our name through an individual or in an individual, like Oprah Winfrey, like Bill Cosby, and many others, that's not near enough to remove the pressure of the poor representation that a people of 30 million making good income when you compare our income to other groups. And yet, our picture in the world as a people is nothing for us to be making any big celebration over.
That's right.
Yes, we can't celebrate yet the achievement of the race. We can't celebrate yet the achievements of the race. If we would right now today think of having a day to celebrate the achievements of the race, our people, we would really be celebrating the achievement of our people back in time, not now. Because for the last 20 years almost, we have not been achieving as a race. We have only been achieving as individuals. So there's great pressure on us yet. And some of us are conscious. Minister Farrakhan is conscious. My Imam W.D. Muhammad is conscious. And many of you on the both sides in the Nation of Islam in here, many of you are conscious. And you are not happy with the picture that you have and the world has of yourself as a people. You're not happy with that. And many of you are supporting our business effort, not because you want to have wealth. You're supporting that business effort because you see that there is a chance, there's a good chance, that it will be a contribution to the betterment of that picture of us as a people that should be responsible for much more of our life than we are responsible for. And I know that's why you're with us. And you're the best. And we're going to be very successful because we have a business group we call private label distributors, having as our instrument, our purchasing instrument, CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference. I know we are going to be very successful. And it's because the people who make up this group, this business group, are not in it for selfish reasons. We are in it because we want to see our personal families dignified, but also because we want to see our group family, the race, dignified. And another thing that's so special, in fact, the most special thing about this group is that we know there's no dignity, not true dignity, not lasting dignity, unless we are serving God Almighty that made all of these things possible. These precious. I'm a scientist in my own right. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the environment that he produced and created for our minds, following strictly instructions from his teacher, the one we were taught to call Savior, W.D. Farad, Farad Muhammad, W.F. Muhammad, W. Farad Muhammad, he went different names. And all those names have a message for us. He didn't do anything unnecessarily. Yes. They produced an environment like a great magnet, and we were like dust, iron dust. Dust. And that magnet just was so powerful, it just bring us a gush of iron dust. Soon as the magnet came into our presence, a gush of iron dust just whoo, and clung to that magnet. That's how powerful that magnet was. We couldn't break from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Too powerful. Some of us left the walls of the temple and got out from under the pressure of coming to the meetings 3 and 4 times, 5 times a week. And other pressures, but that dust was still clinging to the magnet. Couldn't get away from it. Some of us smoking cigarettes. When a Muslim walk in, try to swallow it or put it in the new level. Couldn't get away from it. Powerful magnetism. Of people under great pressure.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.